of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It's phone lines here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And, yes, I managed, just as we were coming on, to knock my coffee cup off over, the big one, but, of course, I have a lid on mine, but that lid only works to the point where the coffee comes out, where we manage to hopefully not fry all the electronics. So far, everything's okay. Good morning. Hey, it's the 24th of April, 2020, 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring, Compassion, Community, and Courage. They're on the front lines facing this COVID-19. We just had another person show up positive in the county. That brings it up to, I think the number then up to 28 now. So, hey, good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
And Sue. Sue is trying to clean up my mess here. I don't even know where she's at. She's underneath the, she's trying to wipe off all the electronics underneath the thing. I've never done that before. You know, I've never done that before. Isn't that weird? What's the weather look like?
Well,
are we having weather during the
yes, we still have weather.
During the lockdown?
Luckily, it's sunny, so it's kind of uplifting. Today, it is right now it's currently 63. Today, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 86, a low of 59. Saturday is going to be partly sunny with a high of 85, a low of 54. Sunday is going to be sunny with a high of 85, a low of 54. And Monday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 85 and a low of 58.
Okay.
And on Tuesday, we can look forward to 90-degree weather for the first time.
Okay.
This year.
Is there a hint of rain in there?
Not at all.
Okay. Sue McClain is, you know what? You are a gem. You are, not only do you do great, you know, great news and super, you know, spots when we use your voice, which I'm going to use more, cause you can read the copy a lot better than me. But here's something like this, you know, two things happened this morning. I said, you know, I need to know this. And so Sue jumped at the, getting a hold of people and all this, trying to see how we could do something here. And we have the answers to it. And then when the coffee goes over, Sue's right there. Gee, you know what? You must be a mom. You know, I'm just a little bit of one. I'm just one of your older kids or younger kids. I haven't figured it out yet. Hey, the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated, and gives discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business down in Anderson, 365-3793. Okay. 28th person. We hadn't had a case in a week, and then we've had two in 2 days. A teenager, and this is a 50-year-old man that is in isolation now at home. And it, you know, we don't get the part about how they think they got it. You know, did they have come in contact with somebody or something like this? But even as we stay home now, Brian Daly has gone forward in saying the, we've got to look at California as different areas. In that the northern region has had a lot less cases. We've got five counties that haven't had any cases that we know of. And the, we need to open up. And instead of trying to do this one size fits all, we've got to be able to, we need to bring this down to the county level. Even then, our county health officer said, even though we open up, this could go on. We could have, you know, less people at gatherings. We could have, continued spacing in restaurants, all these things. Georgia is wanting to open up now. And the Georgia governor is saying gyms, tattoo parlors, hair and nail salons, massage therapists, and other businesses will be allowed to reopen in Georgia on today, less than a month after the state forced them to close during the coronavirus. In-person religious services can resume this weekend, and restaurants and theaters can reopen Monday. A decision that was widely criticized by mayors and business owners who insisted it's too soon. It's from Georgia. Other merchants, of course, and officials praised it. The thing is that this is crippling business. There's going to be businesses that we've gone, known, and loved that aren't going to open up after this thing is over. There's going to be others it's going to take months and months for them to come back, especially under the rules of having to distance yourselves. You have to take out tables at restaurants, chairs and bars, all those things. Even Wynn, the guy that runs the Wynn Resorts and Casinos in Las Vegas, the first one to shut down, is now opening up. Or he has proposed a plan that he has forwarded, saying is that, you know, new sanitary stations, warning people all the time about distancing. You know, instead of having eight at a blackjack table, you have three. You know, so there's space there, distancing, all these things on how to open up the casinos. Now, people are, you know, have gone along with this thing. But there, now you're starting to see the demonstrations. One down in Sacramento had, hundreds of people, maybe even over 1,000 people down there, some on the street, a lot of them in their cars. And the way that the government responded to this was to have the California Highway Patrol refuse to offer or to give parade permits or gathering permits on public property, you know, like state land, anything that the state controls. You're no longer going to get a permit to gather. Frankly, I think that that may be overreaction to this, because what that does is says the people that says, hey, look, we need to open up, you know, you're stepping all over our constitutional rights. And now they just stepped on them big time. But if you're on the other side that says coronavirus is very contagious, which nobody is arguing, coronavirus is very contagious. It's not like the flu. If, you know, a certain percentage of the population gets it, is going to die. Is that too much? Of it, you know, those are the people who are saying, well, wait a minute, you know, we have a right to be protected. It's almost like the vaccination versus the non-vaccination, the anti-vaxxers versus the pro-vaxxers. You've got to vaccinate your child or you can't go to school. Wait a minute, you're telling me I've got to, you know, push in all these vaccines into my child by the time he's 5 years old or he or she are 5 years old, or they can't go to school? It's the same thing for a lot of these people is, you're telling me I can't go out and walk along a trail. You see instances where a person's alone on the beach and all of a sudden the policeman's there. They find them with drones. You're not supposed to be out here. People sitting in their car looking at the sunset getting tickets. Yeah, that's right here in California. So you have to ask yourself, and there's a balance here. Yes, we have a social contract with each other to try to keep each other safe during this time frame. But at some point, unless there is an end in sight, the social contract's going to break down. And now you're going to have factions, even more than we have now, saying is that, look, okay, we've done what you've said, that, you know, the rates are down, there's new information coming in all the time, it's time to lift this, because we can't continue to go on like this. And that's a real balancing act from the government, our local government, our state, and our federal government. We're going to take a break. Today we're going to have House of Realty joining us and to talk about real estate and how do you do real estate during this time and still keep, you know, and but people still, even though they're not supposed to be, you know, you have people that are being moved into the area here from businesses and all this and other things that have to, you know, continue on that way. And then one safe place. We want to talk about the chances and of what's happening in domestic violence, of child abuse, elder abuse, because there's nobody out there to check on it right now. That's later on. Plus, we'll have other things to talk about, you know, like the NFL draft, which was done in, you know, I guess in everybody's living room with computers. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. It's still not open. Now, this is one of the places that you could see could be opened up, and they could limit the number of people in there at any one time. You want to look at something, fine. They sanitize it. They hand it to you. Look at it. Okay. I want this. You pay them, and then you walk out. Meanwhile, then the next person can come in. I think you could do things like that and keep the place safe. Those are kind of places that could open up, in my opinion, sooner than later. Four Winds Jewelry. It is the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and I can't wait till it's open. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebott, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Every day. It's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, 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 every day it's getting faster.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It's 7:19 in the morning. It's the 24th of April today, and it's going to be just one of those beautiful days out there. And temperature today right now is 59. It's going to be going up to 87. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Home Helpers. Home Helpers is taking up the slack where a lot of people can't go out and take, you know, and help the people they were helping before. Well, Home Helpers can. Home Helpers is being able to assist people, whether it's an hour or two a day or 24 hours a day. If you need help, if you've had, some things happened lately, if you're isolating because of the COVID-19, probably they're not going to be there. But anything else, you know, that people have had operations, and you know, like 6 weeks ago, and they're still not able to get around as well. Well, Home Helpers is there to assist you. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com or give them a call, 226-8350. Remember, there's no place like home. The same judge in San Diego that put a stay on the magazine bans. I'm laughing because Sue just came back in with donuts. She knows it's Jared and I started off this morning. Thank you. Started off a little bit slow this morning. Anyway, thank you, Sue. The same judge that put a stay on the magazines, remember, you know, how California passed this law that says you can't have a magazine over 10 rounds. He said, that's not constitutional, and I'm putting a stay on this. And in 1 week, I don't know how many million magazines were bought, standard capacities magazines were bought in this state. But trust me, gun stores were running out of them, magazine manufacturers, stores from that had big stocks of these were shipping them as fast as they could to California. Well, he's back. The judge is back. And you said the ruling on having to go through background checks and pay extra every time you buy ammo is unconstitutional. If you have a gun, you should be able to use it. And so you need gun food. So he said that's unconstitutional, which means then if he put a stay on that, that if you go down to your local gun store, instead of having to go through all the background checks and everything today, maybe, and we don't know how long this is going to last, you can go out and just buy ammo without going through the background check. And for all those millions of new gun owners that there have been, hundreds of thousands in California, but you're having a problem getting ammo because of the Byzantine types of laws we have here, this may be a chance to go out and buy ammo. So this thing will also, this stay will be will be lifted probably in a week, but use this time if you feel the need to buy some ammo without going through all of those horrendous background checks that really have nothing to do with crime. If you look at the sheet itself, it puts all your information down, and then it says what caliber round you're buying. It puts down how many, and it puts down the type of gun. I'm not sure if it puts down the type of gun. It just puts down the caliber. No, it doesn't put down the type of gun. But but there's all other types of questions on it that you don't answer, like the weight of the bullet and all these things. It wants to know why you're using it. So right now that doesn't have any impact, but in a year, maybe two, when you go in to buy it and you're buying, I want to buy 1,000 rounds of 9mm. They could come back and say, you don't have a 9mm registered to you. Or it could say, why do you need 1,000 rounds? It's got the capability of doing that, and it can just turn you down. Sorry, you don't have a 9mm that's registered to you, or a 45 or a 40, or whatever caliber it is. So the judge is showing, I think, a lot of common sense, and the fact is that the Second Amendment does give us the rights to do this. Okay, hold on to your hat here, Jared. Disney theme parks may be closed until 2021 with what's going on here with the COVID. If they're talking about limiting the amount of people that can be at any one area, and you think about, it's one thing to have, you've got a 60,000-person stadium, so you're going to allow 20,000 people in, so they're spread out. And, then you have to sanitize the area after that. But can you imagine a theme park? You're trying to restrict how many people are in there. It takes a certain amount of people, tickets coming in to keep the theme park going. And so say it takes 10,000 a day just to pay the electricity, on one of these things, or electricity and, the mechanical part of it and all that, So it takes 10,000 people coming in there a day to do that. Well, if you're limited to 10,000 people a day, and you think about how much that is, how do you sanitize everything after if somebody's come in? How do you check the people, see people don't have fevers? How do you do all those things? It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be difficult to do this anyway. Are you going to check, when people come in here, we don't take their temperature. when, you know, if Jared says, you know, I feel all hot today. I don't take his temperature, but he doesn't say that. But if he did, I'd go. But luckily we have all of our producers isolated in just one spot there. And with copious amounts of Lysol to wipe down everything. But we don't do that. But can you imagine trying to keep open a theme park? What about your restaurants? Are restaurants going to take the temperature of people coming in? Say they can open up May 15th. Yes, but you've got to take people's temperatures. Okay. What do you do with that? Do you get those ones you can just roll across somebody's head, you know, and like they do infants, so you can see what their temperatures are? This whole thing is going to be, this rollout is going to have thousands of questions about how many, what can we do on this? But we've got to come up with a viable plan. You know, can restaurants exist on half the people in there that they had before? Or maybe a third of the people they had in there before. They can't order all the food. Because it would be impossible to keep that, because you're having to keep all of that in stock and ready to go, because you've got a third of the people there. This whole thing is changing so much what we do. But one of the things that doesn't change, like at Black Bear Diners, they have takeout. And I'm giving away, and one of their meals is like $19.95, and it feeds a family. I've got $20 worth of Bear Bucks that I'm going to give to someone who calls at 605-4567 if you want $20 worth of Black Bear Bucks right now. Yeah, see who's listening out there. We're going to put it in an envelope that's been hermetically sealed and sprayed, and we're going to have it on the front counter so that when you come in to pick it up, you can come in masked and whatever, and we'll have your name on it, and you just walk in and take it. So that's what we're going to do for our Bear Bucks. We're going to, you know what, this is a way of helping our economy. So we've got some Bear Bucks that were given to us by Black Bear Diner. So we just bought a meal for a family of four. I believe that one of their ads is that for $19.95, you get, sides and everything. So people have already called for that. And then we're going to take a break. Right after these messages, and we'll be back with Home House of Realty, but this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Helping families, seniors, business owners, veterans since 1993. Judy Maxwell she's a magician when it comes to finding the right insurance for people, because she can find it. You can't get it for your home because of fires or whatever. Judy will find you the insurance. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give them a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting a car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with a peace of mind that your vehicle is in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change. Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late?
Gotta Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and today's the 24th, 7:31 in the morning, 59 degrees out there. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our another group of heroes that we don't talk about a lot, but SST Oil. They're moving gas, diesel, jet fuel all around the western United States. When I realize that now everybody's cars are getting like one week to the gallon since they're not driving a lot. And, of course, now they've dropped the price of gas down so low that you can fill your car up with gas, but then you can't drive it. So it's kind of a dichotomy there. You know, it's the lowest gas prices in years, but I can't go anywhere. So... But SST Oil is making sure that everything's delivered out there the way it should be. It's an employee-owned company. It's been in our town for over 52 years. Shasta Siskiyou Transport, can't say enough about them. Give them a call at 241-1167. If you're looking for a driving job, if you're looking perhaps to get a fuel card like we have here that keeps track of all your fuel for you and your employees, it makes it a lot easier. SST Oil. I'm here with Bruce and Cameron Middleton from House of Realty. And, you know, real estate goes on. I mean, it's you've got your doors locked like everybody else, but, I mean, it still goes on.
People need a place to stay. I mean, if you shelter in place, you better have a place. We're certainly seeing, quite a bit of turmoil over this, as everybody is. But, yes, real estate, although it was not initially declared an essential service, now has been. I think the governor understood that we need to have people that, for various reasons, need to get out of one place and into another. And I know certainly for us, we also do some property management. And so if people are having to stay home more often, we're having more calls for service, especially on residential properties that we manage. But we are, I think we have certainly seen a little bit of a downturn. I think the main thing too, and Dad, you can chime in here as well. I think, the trouble we're really witnessing is escrows falling out right now. We still have buyers out there. There are still sellers out there. But what we're finding is that in many of these cases, especially due to financing, escrows are falling out and houses are going back on the market.
Well, the our interest rates are at almost historic lows right now. So if you're buying a house or something like this, I mean, you're going to get – I mean, that's got to be an advantage. So they're dropping out because of people are just kind of – they've lost their job.
Well, there's a number of reasons, but the rates are low.
But the lenders are a lot tougher right now. In some instances, the down payment has to be higher. Jumbo loans they're not making. And so there's a lot of restrictions.
Okay.
And, you know, like sometimes happens, you get 90% through an escrow and all of a sudden there's a hiccup and the loan can't be made. So, but a lot of other people have either lost their jobs or their hours have been reduced, which changes the ratios.
Or your business has been shut down.
Or your business has been shut down.
I know of a couple here in town that were getting ready to build a new house. And they just pulled everything back in, staying in their house, because they're, you know, they've had, and it's impacted on big time on their business.
Absolutely.
So they're just, you know, you've got to kind of like do that.
Well, in the real estate markets, oftentimes as well, like the stock market, uncertainty is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And certainly what we have right now is a ton of uncertainty. We have, when you really look at it, again, we've got people out there that still have the means to buy. People out there that are willing sellers. In terms of showings right now are very limited. So if we can, we try and do a virtual showing in almost every case. Showings are allowed under very strict circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but it's difficult to get out there. You have people that don't want, certainly we're not having any open houses, anything like that, that's all shut down. But in terms of trying to get people out there, you have to have a seller that's willing to let somebody maybe come through their house and
people they don't know.
The people they don't know walk into their home and want to look at everything and flip light switches and turn doorknobs. It's not ideal. So we're really going the nice thing at this point as well with real estate is technology has allowed us to do a lot more that we wouldn't have been able to do years ago. So
and you're right. The virtual walkthroughs. I mean, that's really good. But you're right. You need to see inside that closet because you know the camera will tell 90% of it. But we all know the angle of the camera, like, oh gosh, that looks like we could put four people into that closet, and then you find out, well, no, not so fast.
Well, many times when you go online, you see pictures of the property, and then you get to the property and you think, well, this isn't exactly what it looked like.
This isn't the property that was
where those closed up pictures. And yeah,
you're saying this is a lot like on the dating sites.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so, and it's like the old story about the guy who wanted to sell his house and he went online, took a look at it, and the pictures looked so good he decided to keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, wait a minute. That picture is, you know, of you was 10 years ago, and this house was 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, hey,
you know, it's still the house.
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't work as well. But and you're right, because people do. You know, when I see a house, I want to walk around outside. I want to check the perimeter there to see what it is and, you know, how close am I to the neighbors. And a lot of times you don't see those things. You have to get almost like drone views, which are you all using drones?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody, that's another thing that you see now that you can get that overhead and it kind of gives you the whole, especially on a little bit larger properties, kind
yeah,
of a panorama of it.
And there are some restrictions. It's nice to be able to use them again. I'll tell you, two years ago, we couldn't do it largely because of the fires. With all that smoke, the drone footage was coming back terribly. But now we use drones regularly, especially on higher end properties. Like you say, ones with acreage that have some of those features or they're in their particular mm-hmm. location as well, can be very helpful. I think, you know, part of the trouble too, and I know you've got some lenders that come on here as well.
We had Jeff Fink in from Cornerstone, and we've got a couple people here advertising.
Yeah, the financing portion of this is what's really tricky. When you look at what happened back before the financial crisis,
mm-hmm.
As most people know, after you have complete a mortgage and you have those mortgages, lenders then bundle those mortgages and they sell them off in the secondary market.
Right.
And what we had previously was we had fairly bad loans that were rated excellent, and then they were sold as excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've learned, we've gone in, we cross all the T's, we dot all the I's, they double check your income, they double check your assets, your credit scores, everything. They made sure that those loans that a month ago were excellent, they actually were excellent. The problem is now, a month from now, they may not be excellent anymore. that person that had a great job of 10 years may not have that job anymore, or they may be on part-time. They may see their assets depleted. They may see their credit scores go down due to an inability to be able to buy to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult. You had a very, very good borrower a month ago. That person may not be a good borrower now. So that secondary market is a little skittish. And, you know, the Fed has come in. They're buying some of those mortgages. It gets quite complicated mm-hmm. when you get up at that level. But that's really leading to some of the problems as well with financing. And it's starting to correct. But that may be a problem for the foreseeable future. If we have 15 to 20% unemployment or higher, that's going to affect your
even when we demand. Start opening up, it's going to be at halftime for some people. So instead of having 20 employees a day, they're going to have 10. So those other 10 are still on unemployment.
Yeah, this and is not going to happen overnight.
This is, you know, they said 18 months, and I would hate to think that it's going to be 18 months, but it's going to be a slow rollout.
Well, the economy, when you look at it, mm-hmm. and what are there, 26,000 million people now that have filed in 4 weeks for unemployment? And some of those with this $600 a week spiff make more than they do or did when they were working, and they're not going to be in any hurry to go back.
And that's good for 16 weeks, I think.
Yeah, and you're going to have a number of businesses, small businesses, not reopen.
Yeah.
I was hearing this morning on the news where JCPenney is just about bankrupt and whether they're going to reopen here, and you have to wonder about Macy's and some of these, and they don't reopen.
Yeah, they've been shutting down stores for the last 5 years. Sure. They're shutting down stores.
Sure.
And
Kmart,
this,
Sears.
This may be just the this may be the final, you know, the final, you know, thrust to the throat.
Yeah.
I have been reading about Costco though.
Yeah.
So there was a meeting with the planning commission.
That's coming.
It's coming up on Tuesday. It's going to be a virtual one.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Well, I have a test run as a planning commissioner. I have a test run, dry run. We're going to kind of do it 2 o'clock this afternoon, and we're going to do the meeting on Tuesday. The city council on Tuesday night did a virtual meeting, and I watched that from beginning to end. And frankly, they did a very good job. The comments will be coming in via email.
Mm-hmm.
We will have so the representatives will be able to speak and put in their piece as well. The comments will be able to come in from the public via email. We have so the most likely the chairperson, which is Bert Meyer, is the chairman of the planning mm-hmm. commission, will be actually physically at City Hall mm-hmm. for the meeting. But the rest of us are basically going to phone in. They're going to stream it live so that people can watch, anybody in the public can watch the meeting, watch what happens, and be a part of the process. And really, the planning staff and everybody there at City Hall has they're taking a lot of steps to make sure the meetings run smoothly, that it runs well. But, yeah, that meeting will be at 4 p.m. on Tuesday.
And I know you just go to the Planning Commission and you can get on to the web stream there.
City of Reading website.
Okay.
Yep.
And you can watch it there and you can make comments via the email?
Correct.
There's not going to be like an open chat line or something like that?
Email, it looks like it's the way that's
I think so because you get into the chat room and it gets a little bit strange at times. So, yeah, emails where people can ask questions. This has been, what, 4 years?
May 4th will be 4 years. That land went into escrow, and we're hoping this time that Planning Commission last time voted 7-0 in favor, and then the letter came from the attorney, and Costco felt, okay, let's go ahead and address this, but each time that happens, it takes 7, 8, 9 months. We're hoping this time, obviously, that there won't be a CEQA attorney involved, but in the event there is, we're hoping that if we get approval from the planning department, that they move forward in 2 weeks, go to the council and get approval.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, if there is some kind of a dispute, possibly saying, okay, well, we have approval. Let's go to court and let's see what a judge says about this. Can we, you know, are they just stalling, or the judge deems it, well, no, this needs to be looked into. And that's all that needs to be looked into. Then let's correct it and come back. And it's got approval.
Well, yeah. We do need to move this thing on. One way or the other.
Oh, well,
one way or the other.
You know, the fuel pumps, everybody, I went to Costco the other day and they have a table out front to, if you want to support them, fill out a card and whatever. And I was talking to the guy and he said, so many people have mentioned the fuel pumps. Costco gas is rated number one in the United States. It saves you a tremendous amount of money. Plus, you put it on your card, you get an extra 4% or whatever it is. And
you ought to do like Jindra does, is have people out there pumping gas for you.
Yeah,
I mean, just think about that.
Well, they
could do that.
They have a couple of attendants, but it's to keep the traffic moving.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah,
but if they had people there pumping gas, especially under these things, where anyway, hey, we got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. One of the first things that would be opened up when we start opening up is elective surgeries. Right now, people are suffering with hip, ankle, joint type of replacements, shoulder replacements, and they can't do it because there's no elective surgeries. Hospitals, you know, they keep the lights on through elective surgeries for people needing help like that. Emergency surgeries, heart, you've been in an accident, any type of emergency surgery, of course, they're running with that. But one of the first things happening is with the elective surgeries, and Shasta Regional Medical Center has been rated 4 out of 5 stars when it comes to preventative care, surgical complications, heart failure, heart attack care, emergency care. They've got it all there. Plus, they have the Da Vinci machine, surgical robotic system. That means minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. All this at Shasta Regional Medical Center. We're going to take a break. Be right back. 7:46 in the morning here on the 24th. 59 degrees, going up to 87 today.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown. But what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our number here. 59 degrees going up to 87. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. I'm here with Bruce and Cameron Middleton from House of Realty, and let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bruce and Cameron.
You guys, Nick, talking about Costco having the cheapest gas in the United States, and with their $1.50 hot dog, where else can you go out and buy your wife dinner for $3?
I'm looking forward to it, Nick, but oh, wait, Cassie might be listening.
Hey, listen, I'm curious about landlords. I know you guys do property management. I think you own some apartments also. What's going on with evictions? All these people that are out of work at Macy's and Payless and the restaurants, some of them must be having a hard time paying the rent. Has the government come in and said that you can't evict them, that there's restrictions,
Nick,
and that kind of stuff?
Nick, there's a 60-day moratorium, which I'm sure will be extended. And we do both commercial and residential property management. And we only had, I think, two that had a problem on residential, and we're working with them. And, you know, the rent won't be forgiven, but it'll be, you know, it'll be postponed and could be paid over a number of months. Commercial as well. We had my wife yesterday has a commercial building over off Browning, and the gentleman that owns it lives in Nevada, but had called her last week and said, I know we have six tenants, they're all good tenants, and I understand three of them are closed. Let's go ahead and forgive May's rent for all six. So we had six pretty happy people yesterday when they heard that news, and that's, you know, that's the exception. That's certainly not the rule.
Well, I suspect some of them are depending on that rent to make their payment on the place.
Yeah, in this instance, the building's paid for.
Yeah, well, those guys that have to make payments on their apartment complex, is there anything to help them?
Well, there, I think there's some proposed help from the government on that. Lenders are saying, hey, we'll tack 3 months' payments to the end of your loan. So, you know, this is all taking, you know, taking place and changing daily, but you know, everybody's aware of the rental situation. I had two commercial tenants this for April that couldn't pay, and we said, look, we'll work with you, and, you know, give us a proposal, we'll go along with that.
But Nick, that's a good point, too, though, is that at some point the owners of the buildings, I mean, their payments are going
absolutely
on, their electricity payments are going on, you know, people are not being... you know, their electricity's not getting turned off or anything like that. But this is putting it on the end of it is good, or working it out and taking less money so you have some kind of something moving in. But this is a huge problem for people that own property.
Well, and we're dealing with today's problems. What happens 6 months from now if this continues? Then you're going to have some real issues as far as landlords being able to make mortgage payments, et cetera. And that's just going to, we're going to have to deal with that month by month and see what happens.
That was a good question because that was something I wanted to get into. Thanks a lot, Nick. Because this, you know, our economy, you know, like the guy that owns Chevron Square, you know, I pay him. Part of that PPP that came in to pay my people can also be used to pay my rent.
Right.
Part of it can be used to pay my utilities. And so I will use it for that. So he gets paid. But there's, I can look right down the street here. Four businesses from my business here to the end of the street are all shut down. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Well, every one of them is shut down.
And they're saying that new $450 billion, which they just passed, it might already be spent.
Yeah, because they were so short last time.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, and by the way, you know, when you see big business getting this, you know, some of the businesses have actually turned it back in. Harvard turned theirs back. You see across the board, you know, I see doctors that put in for it didn't get it. See small businesses like mine. I've got six people working here. We got it. And you see people with, you know, $1 million payroll, and you see others with, you know, for over 2 months, and others with a payroll of, you know, of 30,000.
I think that was the problem. There were accusations that there was preferential treatment to certain businesses, and that money went so quickly. And I know recently people were wanting to apply for the second round, and there are so many people that didn't get funded from the original, that there may already be that money could be spent with those that had applied earlier and didn't receive it, and now there's a whole nother segment that wants to come out and apply.
And I think you're going to need to take a look at this realistically.
Oh.
That there's going to be, I mean, 2 months, okay. But some people have gotten the money, but they can't open up, and they've got to use it in 2 months.
And all of this starts to compound, and that's the trouble. The longer you go, we're already starting to see locally having some small businesses that are saying, we're done. We're not going to reopen regardless at this point. The longer we wait, the higher that number of businesses goes.
Well, you see people in the financial, you know, investment network saying they've got customers who have steady businesses, but should they reach into the retirement? And they're in their 50s. Should they reach into the retirement and start taking money out to keep the business afloat? Well, that's a big decision because I can just let it go, and I've got my retirement.
Sure.
It's maybe not as much as I thought, but if I take it out of my retirement, how long is it going to take me to get my business back up and running? It could take months. I could really deplete my savings here.
And many small businesses, people don't realize when they've taken out loans for these businesses, a lot of times people tie them to their homes. They tie them to other assets. Yeah. So if the business goes under, they lose their homes. They can lose really everything. And so nobody anticipated starting to have weeks and weeks, let alone months and months, with zero revenue and what that would look like. And from a governmental perspective, it's very difficult to say, hey, here's a one-size-fits-all loan program or program.
I tell you one program, at least on, you know, that I've been talking to people, and that's the SBA coming in and paying the SBA loans, just automatically did that. That is going to be a big help to a lot of businesses, that your SBA loan, you know, for your business that you took out to establish your business, is going to be paid for the next 6 months.
Yeah, and that's a big help. I think the one concern here is that we're printing money like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
We were $22 trillion in the hole to start the year. And with all these bailouts and whatever, you know, that could easily get to 30, it looks like. So
what do you do
somehow,
then?
You know, we need to address that. So I read two articles yesterday where taxes are going to go up to offset this. When Newsom took over the state of California, Brown had left a $22 billion surplus. And that's going to be gone here before very long. And so, you know, long term, there are a lot of things that are going to have to be addressed here. And the economy is not going to rebound quickly.
I'll just throw the, you know, unfunded liabilities.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with that? Because they're not going to get back what they need to get to keep that thing going. So that's I was told by Barry Tippin, though, is that this is, if it goes up, that they give some warning. We got 2 years to plan for it, and then before you start paying it in. But that could be another $1 million a year out of our budget.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
To wonder what PERS and STIRS, how much they lost with the stock market basically dropping from where it has.
What can we say? Wow.
Well, and that, all of that affects demand. I mean, again, you start to see that, you know, you start to see layoffs at the governmental level, at the local level.
I just saw that. I saw that article.
Yeah.
You're going to start seeing government workers laid off.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of people were, you know, they're saying my business is shut down, and yet, you know, the government is still, you know, all of those guys are still working. And, you know, at what point does it impact on
them? That's a pretty sore subject.
It is. It really is. Because, you know, they're getting paid every 2 weeks. And you know, and a lot of the things that they were doing have stopped. You know, like people are taking in their tax monies or doing, you know, inspections and all that. I mean, they're not doing inspections. So are they still on the rolls that are being paid? I don't know, just a question.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, homes are still being built.
Yeah. Well, construction's still going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And matter of fact, today we have a 21-lot industrial park, small industrial park, where they're starting to clear the property today on Rancho and Airport. And we've got people actually ready to reserve lots right now. And so, and we also have someone that I think is going to make an offer on one of the lots at Stillwater Park. So there's still activity out there. But
Stillwater's got Pace bought a lot.
Yeah, Pace.
And then the strawberry farm bought
Lassen Canyon.
But this would be the third. And I'll tell you when you
Is it a local business? Or?
Yeah. And when that happens, you know, activity creates activity.
We're going to take a break here. For the news, and we'll be right back after the news. I've been here with House of Realty, Bruce and Cameron Middleton.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. In about an hour, President Trump expected to sign the $484 billion coronavirus relief bill that won final congressional approval last evening. The measure refills the coffers of the Small Business Paycheck Protection Program and includes aid for hospitals and more money for virus testing.
We will fight this virus together until we defeat it together.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
We did not ask for this virus. We did not invite it. It came from a distant land. But together, we will defeat it, not only for our country, but for the world.
No doubt the president will sign the bill.
President Trump welcomed the vote.
At a time when many Americans are enduring significant economic challenges, this bill will help small businesses to keep millions of workers on the payroll.
In addition to replenishing the Paycheck Protection Program, the bill also contains money for hospitals, a nationwide testing program, and smaller banks serving urban neighborhoods and rural areas. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Another indication of the devastating toll the pandemic is taking on the economy. Orders to American factories for big-ticket manufactured goods tumbled 14.4% last month.
The Commerce Department says the March drop follows a 1.1% gain in February before the government-mandated shutdowns to contain the coronavirus had begun. Last month's decline underscored the severe impact the coronavirus pandemic is having on the U.S. economy. The report showed weakness across the board, with demand for transportation products falling 41%.
Correspondent Jeremy House. It began as an argument between the gunman and his girlfriend. That's what a Canadian investigator says about last weekend's deadly shooting spree in Nova Scotia that left 22 people dead. On Wall Street, the Dow down 13 points, so the S&P is 4 points higher, the NASDAQ up 12 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an important coronavirus update from the nonprofit Global Healthy Living Foundation. Do you or a loved one live with a chronic illness? If so, you and your family may be at a higher risk for contracting the COVID-19 coronavirus. The Global Healthy Living Foundation has made free information and support available for your protection and well-being. Go to ghlf.org to enroll in their free patient support program to get updates and information related to the coronavirus outbreak. Protect yourself and your family. Visit ghlf.org today.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills, so I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
They were able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off $15,000 in 18 months. It's a godsend.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
A noted Saudi human rights activist has died in prison.
For the past week, Saudi rights activists have been calling attention to the deteriorating health of Dr. Abdullah Al-Hamid, who had been detained for the past 7 years. Now they're mourning news of his death. The British-based Saudi academic Madawi Al-Rashid, who's an outspoken critic of the current Saudi leadership, has described Dr. Al-Hamid as a symbol of the struggle for human rights. He was certainly one of its most important advocates in Saudi Arabia, co-founding a pioneering independent human rights group. He was imprisoned several times as he called for a constitutional monarchy, as well as supporting Shia protesters in the kingdom.
That's the BBC Sebastian Usher. Students in Hong Kong have started taking university entrance examinations with masks, temperature checks, and social distancing measures in place after a one-month delay. News and analysis at townhall.com. Ethanol producer ADM temporarily shutting down several corn ethanol plants while furloughing close to 200 workers.
Plants in Cedar Rapids, Iowa and Columbus, Nebraska are each capable of annually producing about 300 million gallons of the typically corn-based fuel additive found in nearly all gasoline sold in the U.S. Some 90 employees will be idled at each facility for at least 4 months. The company said it's managing ethanol production throughout its U.S. corn processing network to focus on cash flows and to products that are in higher demand, such as alcohol for hand sanitizer. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
The CDC recommending that the operators of a South Dakota meatpacking plant where about 800 workers contracted the coronavirus implement a strict social distancing policy and find ways to overcome language barriers. The The CDC out with a memo specifically addressing the situation at the Smithfield Foods plant in Sioux Falls. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567 today, the 24th of April, 2020, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, community, and courage out there. It's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared, what's it look like for the weather?
It is currently 61 degrees, and today is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 86, a low of 59. Tomorrow is going to be partly sunny with a high of 85, a low of 54. Sunday is going to be sunny with a high of 85 and a low of 54. And Monday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 85 and a low of 58.
Okay, no rain coming in here. So it's going to be beautiful. So now I've got to make up my mind whether I'm going to start wearing shorts or just cut the legs off my pajamas.
Option B, Carl.
Option B. You know, the fact is, too, is that pajamas are very forgiving.
Yeah.
I put on one of my Sturgis motorcycle, ride shirts and my pajamas. And, I'm out taking the dog out and watching the fight between her and the birds going on. It's been going on for 2 weeks.
The good life.
And I wonder if I'm going to be one of those people that the kids out in the street talk about. There's that guy out there in his pajamas again in the front yard, and oh look, he's getting into a fight with a bluebird.
He's taking bets on the dog and the bird.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, let's go to the phone. Susan Eastman, our investment guru.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are starting out mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 30 points at 22,485. The S&P 500 is part of 9 points at 2,807. The Nasdaq Composite up 2 points at 8,497. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, Ford down a penny at 488. Carnival Cruise Lines down 19 cents, trading at $11.98. General Electric down 11 cents, trading at $6.40. For local bank stocks of interest, Tri-Counties Bank down 4 cents, trading at $28.17. Cornerstone Community Bank flat and trading at $12.90. Merchants Bank of Commerce off 2 cents, trading at $7.13. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 0.60%. Over to commodities, gold is down 29 cents at $1,736. Silver off 4 cents at $15.32 per ounce. And crude oil up 44 cents, trading at $16.94 per barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan, is this the time to invest?
There's pockets. Gotta be careful.
Yeah, you know what? I thought I heard earlier that the cruise lines were up more. But is cruise lines must be a pretty iffy investment right now.
Well, Carnival Cruise Line is the largest cruise line, and of course, it's getting helped by the government. So is sort of the airlines. So they had popped up nicely, and now they're back down.
Okay.
United Airlines, last time I looked, was about 23.
Wow.
It's 24, and then Delta Airlines was about 22.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one.
So they're just flatlined now.
Okay. All right. Well, Susan Eastman is the one. If you've got a question about investments, you ought to give her a call at 243-7561. She's located at 2705 Park Mina Drive. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, too.
Bye. You know,
she say 30 down on the Dow? That's almost an up day anymore.
Yeah, up day anymore. I saw where it's either United, I think it was United Airlines, used to be running 34 flights a day out of L.A. to Denver, down to 3.
Yeah.
And in the planes, there's like 20, 25 people. On the other hand, flights from New York to Florida have been full. Nobody's wearing masks. They're just in there wanting to get out of New York because the beaches are open in Florida.
Yeah.
I've kept over for this next half hour, I've kept Bruce and Cameron Middleton from House of Realty, because we talk about a lot of things that have to do with the economy. And, of course, Cameron's on the Planning Commission. So, and Bruce has been doing this for, I'm not going to say how long, but, let's just say that the half century mark is somewhere in there.
Well, between Rob and I at House of Realty, we've been there over 80 years. So,
we've talked about the real estate market where you still haven't, you still can show, but it's technology is, you know, how you're having to do it. With the walkthrough videos, but commercial buildings. And then Nick had a good question about people that are renting that lost their jobs. And a lot of people that are renting were kind of like, they needed those paychecks to keep that rent going, to keep the food going. And so now without the paycheck, anything they get is going to be for food, keeping their kids clothed. Kids are home from school. This has affected my sales staff of one. Because she's got Irish triplets, and there's no daycare center. And if she pulls her babysitter in, it takes her whole. I mean, she's losing money on the proposition. So we let her work at home as much as possible, and pull her in for things. But this is what's hitting people too. And like you said, one of your because you do property management, one of your owners of a building gave free May to everybody, which was a great present. But if this goes, what happens in your estimation that the governor says, okay, we're going to open up on 15 May if you meet the following qualifications? And Shasta County will probably meet most of them. That I've seen, except maybe the testing, unless there's a lot more testing kits come through.
I think that's the concern.
Yeah.
If there were more testing. I saw a poll yesterday where 72% of the people thought, let's take our time, let's don't rush into this. I'm kind of curious to see if Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, what's going to occur down there. If it spikes, I think it'll cause delay everywhere else. And I just, it's health versus wealth. What's more important? But I can certainly understand. They interviewed a guy the other day. I think he was in Tennessee. 4 kids, wife, sole provider, unemployed, can't make his rent payment. They didn't have food. And his question was, do I stay here and starve to death with my family? Or do I take a chance and go out and go to work and take a chance of getting the virus? And he said, I have to go back to work.
They have to go back to work. Yeah. The other thing too, and this is a and I've used this term, it's a social contract that we have with each other. Stay at home.
Yeah.
Close these businesses down. This is something that we've agreed to do on our own level to protect ourselves and other people. We haven't seen Linda's parents in 6 weeks now. 89, 87. They're healthier probably than I am. That's part of this thing about trying to keep people safe. But how much longer will the social contract last if there's no clear sight, if there's no plan? You're already starting to have, people saying, hey, it's time to open this thing up. It's time to, lessen the restrictions here all across the country. So then you get both of those sides. Well, do you want to be opened up because you want money? And what about my health? So, they're taking it real personally.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long time, and maybe never, that we go back to normal. I think there'll be a new normal. And even when they start opening with the restrictions, it's going to be, a far cry from what we used to do. We were talking the other day about the Niners and the draft and the generally go down to at least one game a year. I don't know whether you're going to be able to go to any kind of a sporting event for a year, two, or three.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that we're going to see things opening up, and I think as people, I hate to say that, but get used to this, that, flu killed 60,000 people last year.
Yeah.
60,000 people last year. And that was a bad year. Worst year for deaths in 4 decades. But it killed 60,000 last year. We've got, 45,000 and counting right now in the last 2 months over this. Next Wednesday, we're having one of the doctors on that wrote this article about from Santa Clara County talking about it. This thing may be a lot more widespread than we ever believed. I mean, there could be millions of people out there that had it and had the antibodies, and we just don't know. But according to their research, they're showing this a lot huger than it was, so maybe it's not as dangerous as we think.
And it's so hard to tell those numbers. I was looking at the CDC chart on their website last night, and it showed total deaths in the United States, and it had it weekly. How many we have in a year? How many we have each week? What percentage are we at above normal? And it was very interesting to see, and that's a lagging number because, of course, a lot of these still need to be reported and come through, and it didn't show all of the COVID deaths on there yet. But as you looked at it, you did realize that, okay, we are seeing less of other deaths and as we see the increase in the COVID-19 deaths. And so, frankly, there were less deaths last week, according to the CDC, nationwide, than there were 2 months ago, the first week, one of the first weeks in February. And I think that's good. I think that means we've got this somewhat reduced in terms of what it can do. But there's no question this is a bad bug. And people that you talk to and that you hear that have had it, that have made it through it, many of them said, boy, that's absolutely the worst illness I've ever had. I never want to do that again. And I think it's going to be difficult as we move forward trying to keep a cap on this, but at the same time, we get into a depression.
Yeah, we got to do something.
There were economists about 30 years ago, a couple of gentlemen that said, made the determination, right or wrong, but they said, you know, for every 1% increase in unemployment, 40,000 more people will die. And my guess is you go from 4% unemployment to 5, that number's probably actually lower than 40,000. But if you start going from 19% unemployment to 20, number's actually probably higher. And that's from a whole multitude of factors.
Yeah, that's got to do with health care. It's got to do with the right foods. It's got to do with being able to seek health care. We got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. They're open. And maybe this is a time to go in, make a phone call, isolate yourself as he takes the car inside the garage and he fixes a chip that's smaller than a dime or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. A veteran-owned business, he's been doing this for over a quarter of a century. There's nothing about fixing windshields Jeff Wurst does not know. You will not be disappointed. He fixed a 12-inch crack in my windshield 13 years ago, and you still can't see it. That's pretty good. 3208 South Market Street, or give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. He's open. We'll be right back with House of Realty.
With us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. He's celebrating over 10 years on the air. I can't believe that sometimes when I say that. That we're still here. We're still operating. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. By the way, these guys were stalwarts when it came to the PPP. I heard, you know, the first 10 people I talked to that had their money, and this is all different types of businesses came through Cornerstone. We had Jeff Fink on Monday, who explained about the how he thinks the economy is going to look like, that U-shaped coming out, which many people in the next couple of days, you know, at the federal level or at the national level, were saying the same thing. They actually did a board exercise about what happens if a pandemic hits us 2 years ago. Wow. And that showed them how to operate if something like this happened with people gone, what kind of communication systems, what kind of computer systems, what kind of things they had to have. And they just pulled out that, shook it off, and they went right to work. Cornerstone Community Bank, 3 branches, 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, 1845 California Street right here in Redding, and, of course, at 192 Hartnell Avenue, Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm here with Bruce and Cameron Middleton from House of Realty. I've kept them over. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Of course.
And let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning. Jimmy, how you doing?
Good morning. Hanging in there. You were mentioning the Santa Clara studies.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard that they confirmed the first death from the coronavirus in Santa Clara of a lady that died on February 6th.
That's correct.
And most people thought the first deaths were in Kirkland, Washington, somewhere around the 24th.
Right.
And also, yeah, they think that there's been many more cases than we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So New York is going to start doing mass testing, and I think and I hope that it's going to drop the actual death percentage rate, two or threefold, because they say it's like 4%. Well, is that correct?
You know, that's a good point, Major. I mean, when I talked to the gentleman that's going to be on the show, he mentioned that the county coroner went back and looked at this lady and found that. So they're thinking that the number of people that have had coronavirus is going to be 100-fold more than we think.
Right.
And that's going to make a difference on how we handle this.
Yeah, and I know of people up here that had the same exact symptoms as coronavirus, deathly ill, respiratory, their lungs, they couldn't breathe, they were burning in their lungs, the same exact symptoms as corona. And then one more thing real quick.
Sure.
I was looking on the CDC at the death rates as of April 22nd,
mm-hmm.
and it said that the total deaths in the U.S. were 46,379.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look down underneath that, there's an asterisk that says the total cases include total probable deaths.
Right.
Which was almost 6,000. So
right.
I don't know if they were trying to skew the numbers.
No, I think that's also important because they're saying some people, when they count it, if they have like the autopsy and they know right there, others that they meet all the requirements, you know, and so they can count it. They count it as a CV-19. But then there's those other ones, like you said, that may or may not have had it, but they had enough of the symptoms. So, yeah, that's why that asterisk is there. And that is why the Stanford study, which, by the way, there are other nations in the world are doing, finding the same kind of, getting the same kind of statistics. I can't wait to talk to him on Wednesday of next week, because
right.
things
and,
will have shaken out even a little bit more.
And I guess Sweden never went on a lockdown, and their death rate is pretty,
well,
like even with ours or lower.
Yeah, but, you know, Sweden also has 10, their death rate is 10 times the amount of the other Nordic countries.
Oh,
but
okay,
even though that they, you know, but it's still, you know, they feel like it's a reasonable number, but it's still much more than the other Nordic countries when they stayed open. But I think we're going to find out when Georgia is opening today, and today
right.
and Monday. We're going to find out from that.
Okay,
so,
can I ask one real estate question? I'll take my answer off the air.
Sure.
Sorry to keep you so long, but
is
Zillow, the Zestimate, the estimate on Zillow, is that something that's pretty on target, or should I not rely on that? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay,
thanks,
Jim.
Guys.
Thanks a lot. Be safe.
Jim, I'm happy to answer that one. We don't speak kindly of Zillow in our profession, especially because of the Zestimate that they put out. And we see quite often that that number is substantially off from what the true value of the home is. And here's one of the main reasons. What Zillow primarily does is takes county tax information in order, and they use an algorithm to compile that information and then try and make an assessment. So the best example that I give is, and that's because it really is geared towards major metropolitan areas at big urban cities like San Francisco. So if you go three blocks in San Francisco, you may be going from a house, well, anymore, that's $1 million to one that's $5 million three blocks away. In a place like Redding, you usually don't see that kind of shift. So what may happen, say, for example, you have two houses in a subdivision, and it's a cookie-cutter subdivision. All the houses are alike, two-car garage, 1,500 feet, and you've got two houses next door. One of them, your house, is absolutely cherried out. You've got a beautiful little waterfall, perfectly landscaped, granite countertops, paint. You've upgraded everything. The house next door was a foreclosure, absolutely destroyed. They went and took a sledgehammer to the walls before they left. All the grass is dead. The paint's chipping. No new roof. It's in terrible shape. If that house sells for, say, you know, $150, it's going to say that your house right next door is worth the same amount, and vice versa. So that if your house sells and you have the foreclosure right next door that's in terrible shape, it will show that that house, that the foreclosure was, it's going to put it at too high a value and say that yours next door is an accurate comparable. Now, any good appraiser here in town would know that one does not compare to the other, and they may take a comparable that's perhaps a mile, 2 miles away if they have to, in order to show the value. And a good appraiser locally will know that, or a good real estate agent. But Zillow doesn't know that. And that's the problem, and those are the things that Zillow can't see, and that's why that Zestimate is often quite wrong. The other one we see all the time is pre-foreclosure. So there may be something that gets filed at the county assessor's office that Zillow then sees on their information that triggers it to say, oh, gosh, this is a pre-foreclosure. And we start getting phone calls going, oh, hey, this is pre-foreclosure. I'm going to get a great deal on it. It absolutely may never go into foreclosure. It may not be in a pre-foreclosure status. So there are a number of things with Zillow that are inaccurate. It's really meant as a tool to get you to get onto their website, to then start searching around, looking at your house, your neighbor's house, how much is everything worth. Then you start seeing the other ads and things popping up, and then they want you to go through their site, and they charge agents quite a bit of money to advertise on their site. So it's really a tool to drive web traffic, but to use it as an accurate assessment, we certainly don't advise that.
Well, that's what Jimmy says. He says my house isn't trash, but it's, you know, $80,000 more than it's, you know, than the, you know, than the worth is here. That's an interesting thing. So that, because people will go on, I'm just like everybody else, I guess. I go in and look, horse ranches. Texas. And I go in and I look at it, and, you know, just, of course, I start with the $26, $27 million ones, kind of work my way down.
Well, T. Boone Pickens just reduced, his ranch was just reduced, I think, by a pretty substantial amount. It was $250 million. Now you can get it for $200. I'm personally waiting for it to come down a little bit further before
I
make
an
offer.
Well, I tell you what, you know, you guys are kind of our realtors of choice, of course. I mean, we bought our home from you. So when it hits that, when it hits the, what's it down to right now?
$200 million.
When it hits that $170, you give me a call.
I'll give you a call. We'll go for a showing.
And we'll just fly down there in a private plane and look at it. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I don't know if I can hold them on longer than this, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air and Essential Service. It's going to be in the 90s next week, my friends. This might be a good time to call Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642. Have them come out. Have one of their technicians come out. Look at your air conditioner. It's probably been a while since it's been on. Make sure that the filters are clean, that the air ducts are working, that your thermostat is actually working. What we had, what they found, was our thermostat, for some reason, would just change. For no reason. It would just, it would take it, you know, from, you know, like 73 up to 80. And we have no idea why that would happen, but they came in and fixed it. So we don't have to worry about that. They are totally professional. They've been voted best in the North State. It's a veteran-owned business. I have nothing but high praise for Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This portion of the show is brought to you by another business that's not open, but will be, Cypress Square Barbershop. In the Cypress Square, of course, right off of Athens Avenue, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The phone number there is 244-9478. I have an appointment for May 1st. I don't know if I'm going to make that because I don't know if they'll be opened yet. So I will be watching this with bated breath because I refuse. Like, I have friends like Vent and several others that are going into the man buns at this point. But I'm into and Cameron here looks like Cameron's working on a mullet. It's man's last stronghold. Man's last stronghold. Well, we lost Bruce.
But I'll pay money to see Vint in a man bun.
Yeah, is that something else? But, you know, the mullets. Mullets are coming back. Not because you want to, but that's just the way it works. It's kind of like Hulk Hogan. You know, Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, was bald on top, but his hair was long in the back.
Oh, no.
No. The other. Okay. Enough of that. We talked about, you know, the opening up. So I think that everybody's going to be watching Georgia. Everybody's, you know, to see what happens there. I think some are going to be, it's going to be a quieter opening instead of like the big announcement. I think you're going to see some states that they're just kind of having their own thing that they never even shut down. You know, but when you get a place like North Dakota and South Dakota, there's not a lot of people there. And the thing about being in a North state is one of the doctors that was on here pointed out, people move up here because you want space between you and your neighbor, unlike cities. We're independent people already. So when you start restricting that, okay, and we can take this to a certain point, like I said, social contracts. But it's got to be able then to start seeing is that we can't do this forever.
And I think, too, Carl, with this and looking at this locally, and as a planning commissioner, I certainly look at a lot of the projects that we have currently rolling right now, especially downtown, but really throughout Reading, and what this is going to do to those projects. We have the Dignity Project that I was thinking was going to probably come back and start looking at approval here shortly. But again, with hospital visits down, with the number of, and they just had that merger, but also with the number of surgeries and things that have been canceled, revenues obviously down for hospitals. Are they going to continue with that project? The courthouse is rolling along. We see those guys out our front window every day.
Yeah.
They're still working on the courthouse. I think the funds are already there for that to continue. The downtown, the Block 7 project seems to be moving forward.
We had Danny Knott on a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they're still moving forward. They're having to change how they do things, but it's tough. You know, because you know, a lot of them, they share tools and everything. So it's tough, but they're moving on.
They are. And so I think there are some things that are going to keep moving. The other thing I think, too, is to look at the economic breakdown of the area and where our jobs are. And unfortunately for us throughout the years, many years, so many of our jobs here, rather than being really manufacturing, tech, industrial, more production type jobs. We have a lot of service sector jobs, but we also have our largest employers are the hospitals and the educational institutions. So the schools, whether that be from the colleges on down to kindergarten. And so to see that, you see education impacted, to start to see healthcare impacted, I think right now we have a lot of workers that are essential, probably mm-hmm. higher than average. For most cities. So we have some people out there that are still working, that are still going due to the economic, basically the breakdown of our labor force. But as you start to see some of those sectors really being impacted, service sector being one of them, we're really going, that could mean a real economic hit for the area. And I think it varies a lot from place to place. Yeah. Again, as people are saying, we're not San Francisco, we're not LA, we're not New York. I worked for five seasons up in Bristol Bay when I was going to college, working in a salmon cannery up in South Naknek, Alaska. And up in Bristol Bay area there, Dillingham, Naknek, South Naknek, Egagic, King Salmon, that area, right now they're gearing up for their fishing season. And the salmon season and
not so fast.
Yeah, thousands of workers, fishermen, cannery workers head up there. And that's really the source of the income for that entire area all year.
Will it be opened?
There, that's the fight right now.
Well, now, and here's the other thing. Well, first of all, you know, we talk about our hospitals and all those. Hospitals are in deep trouble right now, too. The elective surgeries have been cut. One of the first things that will come back is elective surgeries. Elective surgeries pay electric bills, keep the place open. There's healthcare workers across the United States being laid off, doctors, nurses, because the hospitals are in financial trouble. Now the government's stepping in and saying, hey, we'll give you all your Medicare payments for 6 months up front here, you know, on a balance, you know, after averaging it, but then they can't charge against that. They're going to have to charge against that in the future. So that's a problem right there. But one of the things here in the talking about opening up in Georgia says that she this one business, and this would happen here. You've laid off your people so they can get unemployment, right? So now they're saying you can open up, okay? So it's going to take a while to open up so I can start bringing people back in. But what happens if it goes up again? Well, then we have to shut down again. So it's like an experiment. So people are in unemployment. I bring half of them back. We're open for 2 weeks. It starts going up again. Okay, we're going to have to, you know, shut it down again. You know, this is, you know, that's even worse because you've got to take money to open up and, you know, get all your supplies in and things that you needed that you weren't ordering because you were shut down.
Yeah, and I know that was one of the questions here. I think, was it on Monday when WTI crude dropped into negative territory for a barrel of oil. And it kind of became part of that issue. To shut down oil derricks and to shut down rigs is extremely expensive. And then to try and fire them back up in a matter of weeks or months or what have you. And so basically they said, listen, we will almost pay somebody to give away this contract. And that's what they essentially did. And, you know, there's a part of me too, and I saw something recently that indicated or that questioned, is this going to be something we do geographically or demographically? And is it something where, hey, we clearly do have a line here. We have some younger, healthier people that are maybe less susceptible or prone at least to the mortality of this virus. And you have those that are certainly at higher risk. And do we need to at least say, hey, for those that are at higher risk, do we need to continue the isolation and stay at home and a little bit more restrictive measures with that population than we did with some of the others?
Well, they did say people at risk should still be staying at home while others out. But again, this goes back to how many, how big is this thing? If this thing's been a lot bigger than we think, that means there's a lot of people out there with antibodies and a lot of people that, you know, they may have thought they had a cold or something. It didn't last. Some people may have never shown any symptoms, but the ones that are, and this is what's so deadly about this. You can have it, show no symptoms, and spread it. Unlike SARS and MERS and H1N1, you had to have you had to be showing symptoms and you were sick, and it took bodily fluids. This one from talking. You can just get it from talking to people or putting your hand on something that they just had their hands on. So this, Yeah, the rules on this one is going to be different.
Well, and there's so many things we haven't thought of still. It just came up earlier in the week. Here we are. It's now April. It's going to start getting hot next month, and we're going to end up into fire season. And how do you start taking these fire crews that usually are bunked up in tents or in barracks, and they're all working together? They're all eating off the same food line. They're shoulder to shoulder on a fire line. What do you do then? I know that Cal Fire and the Forest Service have been trying to figure out, hey, how are we going to approach fire
How do we get
season?
Big enough places to separate them? And then when you also look about opening up our economy, let's say that, okay, Shasta County is going to be that model. We've got, we got Shasta Lake. We've got Whiskeytown. What about the 20,000 or 30 or 40,000 people in San Francisco been on lockdown for the last month? And, oh, look, a three-hour drive away, we can be on the river. We can be walking in the mountains. I mean, how do you control that when that starts coming in there?
That's it. We've got open county borders, open state borders. It really becomes, I think, very difficult, especially being on the I-5 corridor. I know the number one place I've avoided is gas stations, I hate to say it, right off the freeway.
Yep. Well, that's what Dr. Gonzalez was telling people, is that you can get it that way, which reminds us about why Gender 76 is still a great place. They pump your gas. They clean your glass. They check your air pressure. It's right there on the corner of Bocelli and
Cypress,
thank you very much. Plus, they do all of the things that service stations do. So they're the only ones in town that do that. You don't even have to get out of your car.
All right. I love it.
Yeah, hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Just a small town girl, living in a took the midnight train going anywhere.
Wow. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Friday, the 24th, 8:50 in the morning, and it's going to be a beautiful day. What is it going to go up to today, like 89 or 82? What is it?
I think it was 85.
85, okay. Well, it's going to be hot. If, for people that are out walking, just let me give you a little warning here, is Dr. Kara Tennant, the our veterinarian, on the show here, said that for people that are out now walking a lot, your dogs can't go from laying around the house to a 5-kilometer fast walk or 10-kilometer fast walk right away. You got to get them in shape too. But the other thing too is now that it's getting hotter, got to start looking at leaving your dogs in the cars because people are taking their dogs with them, and the inside of those cars can get hot. Now, speaking of cars, the other day I'm going home from work, or whatever I call it here now during this time. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's not a car in the street except one. Behind that one car was our traffic enforcement guy writing a ticket, And I saw that and I said, and I slowed down to make sure, is that what he's doing? He's writing a ticket. He was. So what did I do? I called the mayor. So you can do that in a small town like this. You can call the mayor and say, hey, I saw when your traffic enforcement guy is giving a ticket to one car in the whole street on two blocks. You know, the ones in front of Deja Vu was open, and then you make that side turn there on to Placer. You've got more parking. Only one car. One car. And that guy was getting a ticket. I think during this time frame, we should be a lot more, what can I say, forgiving? I mean, what is this? A ticket? For a $27 ticket now, when maybe somebody came down or just went down to check their business because their business is closed because they've been ordered to close their business. So maybe they went in there to check and see, hey, is everything okay? Come out, and there's a parking ticket on your car. Come on.
Oh, the mayor's heard from me on this more times than he'd like to count. I was in disagreement with the increase in enforcement, parking enforcement downtown, back a few months ago when they did it, when everything was still going well. And I certainly think they need to put a moratorium on it now. There's no reason to have it. We work downtown. We see what's going on downtown. And number one, you're not having a whole bunch of two-hour-plus parkers. We don't have – there's parking all over the place. We have alleviated and fixed the parking problem, at least temporarily. And certainly, yeah, they need to get rid of that. And if you want to make downtown an inviting place to come – the last thing you want to do is when somebody comes down and they have a little meeting and then they want to go grab lunch, that they're having to worry about their vehicle, worry about having change, worry about getting a ticket. Because if they have that worry, then they go out, then they get the ticket, then they turn around and who knows, when they get to their car, they might find a window smashed out. They're never going to come back downtown again. That's going to be the last time they frequent that downtown location. So I'm certainly one to be – I'm against parking meters. I'm against enforcement, all of this. I think you let people handle it. What we really need to do long-term once we get out of this, and I think the city's starting to see this, is we need supply of parking downtown. The Block 7 project's a great project, and it is – replacing, at least some of the parking that is being displaced, but we do need more. I don't like the diagonal parking that you have down Oregon and some of these others, but
on Oregon Street, I drive a truck, and if there's another truck coming, one of us stops.
Well, and
because there's not enough room to get two pickup trucks through there,
especially with a pickup truck that's parked there,
parked there because of the construction. So you got a lot of
right.
You have a lot of trucks parked there. So I mean, even if you've got a car, two cars, and you got a truck parked diagonally there. Two cars I don't think can get through there either.
Yep,
I don't know what that plan is.
You got to put them in the right spot. Well, and the idea is they're trying to increase the supply, which we need to do. But going around and writing tickets, having lived in Berkeley, where, as I mentioned to you earlier, the Berkeley Parking Enforcement Division is the most hardcore, brutal law enforcement unit I've ever seen or heard of.
Do they wear armbands?
Oh, They walk around with sticks. I mean, it's they measuring, use GPS. Measuring. They do. It's incredible.
Now, you saw something the other day you told me about.
Yeah.
You saw one of the our traffic management guys. They were measuring because somebody
right out in front here.
You know, in front of our place.
It was right out in front of your place, right here. And sure enough, a vehicle had gone a little bit, I'd say maybe a foot, 18 inches, past the T.
Yeah, you know, and the T meaning where you know, that marks the parking spot. Right.
And there were two of them, and one was standing there, and they're pointing at it and looking at it and measuring it, and the other one's writing up the ticket. And they were going, hey, wait a minute here. If the whole idea of this is to try and create turnover, which is the excuse being used for this parking policy and for this increase in enforcement, that has nothing to do with turnover. And I think the real problem is you create a feeling of angst downtown or in an area where you're writing these tickets and you're doing this enforcement. And the problem is that our downtown is unlike, and our city is unlike most others. Our downtown is not the central district for commercial activity in the city. Most of our commercial activity is elsewhere in the city. And in all that other commercially zoned area, we don't have parking restrictions. We don't have parking meters. So it's very, very easy for people to go out and go to those other places. The theme I keep hearing is, well, people have to start walking more. People have to learn to do this. They have to start keeping change. They just need to get used to this downtown. And the problem is they don't need to do anything. They don't need to come downtown. They can go somewhere else. They don't have to come to a downtown restaurant for lunch. They can go anywhere on Hilltop, Churn Creek, south of town, north of town. There's so many other places they can go. They don't need to come downtown. And I think that's the part that's often forgotten. You don't want the people that only need to come downtown. You want people to want to come downtown.
Yeah.
And
even with people movers, it's a whole change in how you look at things. I mean, it just is. We're here with Cameron Middleton from House of Realty. We're talking other things, of course. Hey, do you think, well, before I ask you this question, on Monday we have asked Senator Daley to come on. We asked him to come on this week, and he couldn't for whatever reason. I'm sure they're busy. We've asked him to come on Monday to discuss what he's talking about getting the northern region, his region, open. I haven't heard back from them yet. I say you just call in because, you know, I don't want him to drive here from wherever he's at. You know, if he's back up in Bieber, you don't need to drive down for an hour. I don't think they're all seeing constituents now during this thing, but I'm sure they're working. Even though the House or the Assembly and the Senate are on lockdown, so they're not going into work in the Assembly, but I, from what I understand, they're still working in their off offices and things like this, using distancing. But like I said, we'd really like to have Senator Daley come in here, or Assemblywoman Daley, on the show to say, hey, what's going on? What do you see happening? What do you see happening at the state level, about opening up? Will they make exceptions? Will they bring it down to the county? You know, you were talking demographics. We can talk space. We can talk population. The fact that maybe you want to start in a place like ours that's got 100,000 people in a city, but not 5 million. And see how it works with us.
Well, and I know that just speaking to other local elected officials, many of them have been in touch with both Senator and Assemblywoman Daley and are speaking with them. So I know that they have been reaching out and talking to a lot of our local elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I read Senator Daley's letter. Also read recently just the letter I think released, might have been yesterday or this morning, Anderson Councilman Baron Browning's letter as well to the Daleys, to Congressman LaMalfa, and I think he also CC'd Senator Nielsen and Assemblymember Gallagher. And so we are starting to see this, and I think regardless, it's going to be the governor and the local public health officers that are truly going to determine when we get back to normal and when things open up. I think the important thing right now for the local elected officials is to do that planning. And speaking with, for example, the mayor of Reading, I know, you know, he's working on trying to say, hey, what can we do as a city to plan and prepare so that we don't have more lost time once the governor and the public health officer decide it's time to go ahead and start various phases of reopening. So really it's a matter of that preparation. I think it's prudent right now to prepare.
Yeah, I think it is. We got to start getting ready. Cameron, thanks so much for sharing time with us today.
Of course, Carl. Thank you.
Like I said, we're trying to get the senator on for Monday. We'll find out probably later today when I call and see what happens with that. I've been in contact with his communications guy.
Looking forward to Wednesday, too.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday should be real interesting. Hey, everybody, have a safe weekend. I realize this is tough. It's tough on everybody right now. But continue to distance yourself and keep yourself and others safe. Hell, but I won't back down.
Gonna stand my... KCNR, Shasta, Reading.